Well, greetings to each one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, that name above all names, that name that one day every knee is going to bow to and every tongue is going to confess that He is alone is Lord. So before we get into the message this morning, this Palm Sunday morning, just want to call your attention to a few things that were in your mailbox. First of all, last Sunday you should have received a council form. This is a tool. There's been a change made. This is a tool for you and your family to use to prepare for communion next Sunday morning. The questions are the same, but it's just that you do not need to return them unless you have counsel you would like to share with the pastoral team. Then you can place it in my mailbox. Again, you do not need to return this form, but if you have counsel you would like to share, please place it in my church mailbox. And there's been one put in your church mailbox, one per family, so you as a family unit, you can share this counsel form. Maybe let it lay on the kitchen table or whatever, just as a reminder in preparation for communion next Sunday. The other thing in your mailbox this morning is a letter from the Brubaker family, Barry, Michelle, Trevor, Justin, and Derek. It's concerning their term of serving with YWAM. There's information in there that they're probably looking to end their term of service the end of May. We will be receiving an offering for them on April the 28th. So there's details in this letter as to how that offering will be handled. So I just wanted you to be aware that their term is ending, planning right now to be the end of May. So just be aware that the offering we're receiving on April 28th will be for them. And the details of how it will be handled are in this letter. If you have any questions, please come and talk to me. So before we get into the message, I'd just like to share with you, spent some time with Lorraine and Ken Whitmer in the hospital last evening. Lorraine fell and has fractured a bone in her upper leg. They were looking to do surgery this morning, but that has been delayed until tomorrow. So just keep Lorraine and Ken in your prayers as they walk through this very difficult time in their lives. Sometimes you wonder how much can a person or a family handle. But we do trust that God knows what He's doing. He's in control, and we need to put our faith and trust in Him. So I'd just like to spend a few moments in prayer for Lorraine and Ken as they're in the hospital right now. Father God, we just come before You this morning thanking You that You are a God that does indeed love us and You care about us. So I just want to lift up Lorraine and Ken to You today as they spend this time in the hospital. And I know that Lorraine is experiencing pain not only from the cancer but also from this fracture. So I just want to ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ that You would ease that pain. Also want to pray that You would surround Lorraine and Ken with Your presence. I pray, Father God, that Your precious peace, Your peace that passes all understanding, would surround them. Your peace would fill their mind, would also fill their hearts as well. So we lift up to Your throne of mercy and grace and ask that You would just be, Your presence would be real and powerful to them today as they face today and also surgery that is scheduled for tomorrow. And we ask that You would guide the doctors and surgeons' hands tomorrow, that the surgery be good and well. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today is Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Resurrection Sunday, and also the Sunday that begins Passion Week. So first of all, let me tell you this morning that God loves you. Psalm 118, what I read earlier this morning. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. Can we say that together? His love endures forever. God loves you with a steadfast love that endures forever. Do you believe that this morning? I see heads nodding. God loves you with a steadfast love. Steadfast means firmly fixed or established, unwavering. God loves you with an unwavering love, an unwavering love that lasts forever. So as we enter into this Passion Week, the week in which Jesus knew that every step He took was taking Him closer and closer to His crucifixion and death on the cross. Every step He took was filled with a deep love for every human being on the face of this earth. Almost every year on Palm Sunday, we hear the very familiar account from Scripture about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So I'd like to read this morning from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 41. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 28. After Jesus had said this, He went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As He approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as He had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As He went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When He came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' He replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, He wept over it." This passage takes us on the journey that Jesus took many years ago, a journey that took Him from Jericho to the city of Jerusalem. This journey took place after Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. It is also a journey that begins at one of the lowest points on the earth, some 800 feet below sea level, which is where Jericho is located, and continues to Jerusalem, which is around 2,500 feet above sea level. So that means that this approximately 14, 15, 16 mile journey would also include a climb in altitude of about half a mile. I wonder if God planned it that way. I also believe this journey took some time, as the primary mode of transportation at that time was walking. So some people describe the city of Jericho as an oasis. And in Deuteronomy 34, verse 3, it's called the City of Palms. If you remember, Jericho is a city that the children of Israel marched around seven times. The trumpet blew, and they all shouted, and the walls came crashing down. You can read about that in Joshua 6. Well, the road from Jericho to Jerusalem is very rugged as it winds its way through the Judean wilderness. So this was probably a very dangerous road as well. Now, it's my understanding that the city of Jerusalem bursts into full bloom during the spring of the year. There's almond trees are in full bloom, and the hills are covered with all kinds of wildflowers. I wonder if that was also part of God's plan. Because you see, just about the time a person traveling from Jericho through the ruggedness of the wilderness, road was probably very dusty, probably rugged and steep at times, just about the time that they would be ready to give up, perhaps they would catch a glimpse of all the green and the lushness of the area surrounding Jerusalem that was in the distance. And the temple at that time was covered in alabaster, a form of calcium, and was usually creamy to snow white. It was covered with alabaster and also gold. So it was a magnificent sight. And the entire city radiated. The city and the temple looked like heaven on earth. Possibly looked like a small representation of the green of the Garden of Eden, with all the green, all the lushness, and God's temple radiating in the distance. I wonder if that was part of God's plan. I'd like to take a look at this passage from Luke through the eyes of Jesus this morning. What was Jesus looking for? Luke records Jesus' journey from Jericho to Jerusalem, and beginning in verse 30, we see God's plan beginning to unfold. Jesus sends two of his disciples on what we could call donkey duty. All they had to do was find the donkey, which was never ridden, untie it, and bring it to Jesus. And by the way, if anyone asks you why you're untying it, just tell them that the Lord needs it. Now think about it for a minute. What would you have done if you were one of those two disciples and you had just received these instructions from Jesus? Maybe it'd be a bit confusing. Would you question Jesus? Like, really? Are you sure that's what you want us to do? Or would you respond in obedience? I suggest to you this morning that Jesus was looking for obedience. Sometimes God may ask us to do something that doesn't make sense. What God is looking for from his followers, what he needs from his followers, is obedience. We need to understand that we don't need to understand. Do you get that? We need to understand that we don't need to understand all the details of what God is asking us to do. We need to respond in obedience because that is what will please God. Verse 35 says they brought the donkey to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. This fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, which was prophesied some 500 years before it happened. See, your king comes to you righteous and having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, if you were the owner of the donkey, what would you have done if you discovered someone untying your donkey and leading it away? I'm not sure I would have just left the disciple take it. I mean, at least without a valid explanation. I mean, listen. If you need a donkey, go buy one for yourself. I worked hard to buy the money, to earn the money to buy this donkey. How would you have responded? Apparently, the owner simply left them take the donkey after they said, "The Lord needs it." The owner was not selfish. May I suggest to you this morning that what Jesus was looking for from the owner of the donkey and from each one of us here this morning is selfless giving or generosity. Selfless giving or generosity. Moving on to verses 36 through 38. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, and the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. I suggest to you this morning that Jesus was looking for true worshipers. The people were focused on Jesus. They worshiped him through their actions of placing their cloaks on the road, and they worshiped him with their voices. What Jesus is looking for from his followers today is the same thing. True worshipers, people who worship and honor God with their lives and their voices. Verses 39 and 40. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Jesus was looking for true worshipers, but perhaps what he also saw was religious frauds. The Pharisees told Jesus to shut everyone up. They couldn't stand seeing Jesus receiving their praise and worship. They also didn't want someone challenging their power and authority as religious leaders. They also did not want a revolt that would bring the Roman army down on them. So they asked Jesus to keep his followers quiet. And Jesus responds by declaring that if the people were quiet, the stones would cry out. Why would the stones cry out? Not because Jesus was setting up a powerful political kingdom, but because Jesus was establishing his Father God's eternal kingdom. Verse 41 says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Why did Jesus weep over Jerusalem? I believe Jesus shed tears over Jerusalem, not just because of the people's sin and unbelief, but perhaps even more significantly, Jesus shed tears because of his great love for all mankind. God's steadfast love endures forever. So please allow me to ask some pretty pointed questions this morning. How does Jesus see you? Or perhaps a better question would be, what does Jesus see when he looks at you? Does he see obedience? Does he see a selfless giver? Does he see a generous giver? Does he see a true worshiper? A true worshiper in lifestyle and also in verbal praise to Almighty God. Does Jesus see a fraud? Someone who says they love Jesus. Someone who says they live for Jesus, but maybe their life, their lifestyle would suggest otherwise. Do you make Jesus weep? When Jesus looks at your heart, what does he see? The Lord deeply loves each and every one of us. We can never do anything that will make him love us less. God's steadfast love endures forever. This Friday evening at 6:30, you're all invited to gather in the fellowship hall for a light meal and to also share in foot washing as Jesus modeled for us. We'll also have a short service here in the sanctuary, remembering that Jesus died for us. Even though our sins may be many, he still died for us and extends forgiveness to us if we will reach out and receive it. So this morning, I want you to know that God loves you. This morning, I want you to know that God cares about every little detail of your life. He cares about our anxiousness when we fret about stuff that's happening in our families, around the world, all around us. He cares about the little things that, well, they're probably not little. They feel huge. He cares about those things in our lives that cause us to toss and to turn and to lose sleep at night and maybe eat a little bit too much ice cream and or chocolate. God loves us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31, 3b, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. Psalm 103, 17, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him and his righteousness with their children's children. You see, all this would be different if God was limited. It would all be different if Almighty God was unable to create order out of chaos. It would all be different if he wouldn't be able to heal the leopard. if he wouldn't be able to walk on water or raise the dead. It would be quite different if Almighty God wasn't the great I am. But our God is the great I am. He is Jehovah Jireh, our great provider. Our God is not limited. We can't keep track of everything, but God can. Sometimes we struggle with making sense of all the stuff going on in our lives and around us. Because of God's great love for us, He's got this. He's got this. You see, God sees the big picture. But He also sees the little picture. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before His eyes of Him to whom we must give account. We can trust God. We can trust God every day for everything. If we are obedient, just like the two disciples that went and found the donkey, just like Jesus said they would, we will discover that God has a wonderful plan for each one of our lives that will unfold one day at a time. When the disciples brought the donkey to Jesus and He rode it into Jerusalem, Jesus was letting the whole world know that He was more than a man. He was letting everyone know that He was the Messiah. God in the flesh had come to give His life as a ransom. God in the flesh had come to bring redemption, renewal, and restoration. Sadly, the people He loved and came to save rejected Him. But Jesus didn't reject mankind. On the cross, Jesus Christ could have cried out judgments. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and to set him free. Instead, He said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. God's steadfast love endures forever. Jesus is looking for obedience. He's looking for selfless giving. And He's looking for true worshipers. God loves you with an everlasting love. God's steadfast love endures forever. Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we do indeed thank You for Your steadfast love for each and every one of us, and that love that endures forever. Thank You for the truth of Your word, and I pray that everyone here this morning would be able to grasp hold of that fact, that truth, that Your steadfast love endures forever. Help us to believe that. Help us to trust You. Even though the stuff in our lives sometimes is so confusing and overwhelming, help us to trust You and help us to understand Your great love, Your steadfast love for each and every one of us. So I pray that as we enter into this Passion Week, remembering what Your Son Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, I pray that You would help us to grasp hold again of the fact that You love us dearly. I pray and ask this all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
So kind.
Well, thank you for your attention this morning. And just a reminder again of our Good Friday service here on Friday evening at 6:30. You're all invited back to participate in that. Would you stand to receive this benediction from the very last verse in Revelation? May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. May that be true. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed.
Well, I invite you all to stand as we continue worshiping this morning.
Things. Hosanna,
Thank you for this morning that we can come to your house and worship you, and just thank you for your love that it is steadfast and that it does endure forever. I just pray that you'd bless Larry as he speaks this morning, and that we would all receive your word this morning. Amen.
Well, let's continue our worship this morning with one of the joys of being a pastor is to have baby dedication. So I'd invite Michael and Ashley and their family to come forward this morning as they desire to dedicate their newest addition to God. So when Christian parents present their child to God before the congregations, they come to thank God for the life entrusted to them and to dedicate themselves to live godly lives as examples for their children, and also to offer their child back to God and to ask for God's blessing on their life together. And we as a congregation come to share their joy, to pray with them for the child's well-being, and to receive their child into the care of the church. So this morning, Michael, I would like you to step up to the microphone and introduce your newest son to us.
All right. I totally forgot the date, but it would be March 12th, 8:04 in the morning. His name would be Jace Michael Hankins. So, yeah. I don't know, and this is Colton, if you don't know.
Thank you. Thank you for introducing Jace to us. So I have a few questions I'd like to ask you, and you can respond. Do you accept your child as a gift from God? You can answer together. We do.
We do.
Do you dedicate yourselves as parents to bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, preparing them to come to an open confession of Jesus Christ?
We do.
And do you commit to live your lives as godly examples for both your sons? And do you promise to gladly surrender your child to the ministry God has in mind for him, even if it might involve going to the ends of the earth? And now to you, the congregation. Do you accept responsibility for the well-being of this child? Will you, by prayer, example, and words, support these parents in nurturing their children to respond to the grace and the truth that are in Christ Jesus? If you can respond with the affirmative, would you please stand? Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for this precious gift. We ask, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would enable Chase to grow up learning about you, and also that you would... Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. I'd like to extend a special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us. It is a delight to have you here today as we gather to worship the one true and living God. I'd like to use Psalm 118 this morning as our call to worship. Psalm 118, first four verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say his love endures forever. So as we gather this morning to worship, may our lips express our love to our God as we remember that his love endures forever. Would you join the worship team in singing praises to our God?
Found out.
ushers to come forward at this time as we take this morning's offering. This morning's for the Pastoral Support Fund, and we also have the My Coins count. Next song is I Love to Tell the Story. This is in the Mennonite hymnal, number 593.
This morning that you just joined with me is I'm just going to talk to God this morning, I guess. Maybe a little different than a normal prayer. But Heavenly Father, when we come here to worship you, and I thank you for that. And we are lifting this offering as part of our worship as well, because we're trying to get back to you. I know your Bible says to give the first fruits back to you. And And that does mean more than just this money and this tithe here. It means giving back of ourselves, of our time and our thoughts and everything of us giving back. And we do that because of what your son, we just sang about, you know, the story, the son of Jesus who came and died for us, and we do that because of that. But that can be tough sometimes as we struggle through things in life. I know there's people here in the church that are going through things. I know some things that are going on, other things I don't. But if you're struggling through things, it can sometimes be tough to give back to God first, to think about him first and not be thinking about things going on. Whether you're struggling financially about trying to give back or whether you're struggling just through things that are going on. Sometimes I hear about things and I don't know how things keep happening and how people can hold up under some of the things that they're going through in life. And sometimes it boggles my mind but it's because they rely on you. And that's what I see. I see that through people here at church that are going through things, that they're relying on you. And that's the only way I can see that they can hold up under some of the things that they go through. And that gives me strength as well to see those people doing that, knowing that if I put you first, you tell me that if I put you first, you will take care of everything else. And so I pray that here this morning, that we put God first in everything we do. And in that prayer of putting God first, we pray for this offering as it goes to our pastors who are here to help lead us closer to God, that you will also bless them in that. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.